This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The After Party Season 1 is still over, but we are just getting started talking about it here on Post Show Recaps 22 in Review. I'm Jess Sterling, here to bring you through all the memes, all the nostalgia of us covering the After Party earlier this year. But of course, I cannot do this alone. I had to bring in someone who was my co-host all the way throughout. Let's bring him in this way. How great is this party, Ariel?
Ah, oh my God, this party. My liver is exhausted. I've been partying all year long, and I'm suffering now for it. But I'm so excited to be here. This is crazy. I can't believe it's the end of the year, and I can't believe the show is still over. I could have sworn it had come back, but it didn't.
Not yet. And of course, it's not just the two of us, because two is a couple, but three is a party. And you know what? Shawty, my angel, you're my darling angel. Grace, how are you?
No, my name's Walt, and I've been here the whole time in the background. I was on every pod, and you never threw to me. Every time Josh is here, you never threw it to me. It's very weird.
Uh-huh. So happy to have you here, Grace, talking about the After Party with us. And of course, we're also going to be touching on some other bingeable shows throughout the great year 2022.
Did we watch TV this year, the three of us? Did we watch any TV other than the After Party? I don't know.
I don't know how much TV we watched.
I watched many 10 to 15 hour long movies. I don't know about TV shows.
Mm-hmm. 10 to 15 hour long movies?
Yeah, no, it's a joke. The way some of the showrunners treat their seasons like long movies, it's kind of dumb.
Josh recently let me know on the year in review announcement pod that I had done 300 podcasts on PSR. So I've definitely watched more TV than I podcasted about. And that
you ruined our surprise. Jess and I had balloons.
Oh, 300 balloons.
Yeah. Oh, Grace.
That was the whole point of this party, Grace. This was the way to get you here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it was really just to have the surprise about, woo, 300.
No. But I definitely watched more TV than I podcasted about. So that's a lot of TV I think I watched, and movies. Yeah.
I feel like we're all going to need to go see an eye doctor, like pretty soon, like just to check in, you know, just to make sure our eyes are all right after so much screen.
Yeah, go for the blue light lenses.
Oh, I have those. Between working and podcasting all the time, yes, I need the blue light reduction.
The blue light special.
Yes. But if you're new here, welcome. Hi. Thank you for joining us. All month long, we're going to be podcasting about different shows that were covered here on Post Show Recaps, a variety of guests for your entertainment pleasure. You can follow along postshowrecaps.com/2022 if you want to find the feed that is going to house all of those podcasts. Of course, everything will be in the show specific feeds as well. And we also have a survey that we'd like everyone to take. We want to know, what do you watch? What do you listen to? What kind of genres are you into? This show has many, many genres for your appetite. So definitely go take that survey. It's going to be in the show notes. We want to hear from you, dear listener, and what your fave things are. So I think that's all the setup we need. To start talking about our first show of the conversation here, the after party, which we covered earlier this year. Ariel, this show was so fun to cover. Like, the different genres every week, I felt like made it extra exciting, more than your average comedy.
Mm-hmm. I miss it. I feel like it was such an innocent time back then, back when we were covering this. And it's, some of the characters have really stayed with me. Like, thinking back on it, I think it's that really easy measurement of you allow time to pass and then you think about the show and then you just assess, like, you literally just take stock of what you actually remember and how you feel about it. And mm-hmm. Some of the characters really, I had to like look back and be like, oh yeah, that person was on it. But some of the characters really stand out, like the quote unquote love story that ultimately was important to the story, was like kind of the heart of it. And like the cartoon episode and the musical episode. And it's just like, it was a lot of fun, right? It was a party. I mean, it was a murder, but it was a party. And we had a blast.
We did. So for those of you maybe who just like randomly listened to this episode and haven't gone and watched the after party, we covered it back between February and March of this year. It's an Apple TV Plus show. Basically, there's an after party for a high school reunion. There's a murder right away, and the whole show is centered around figuring out who murdered Xavier, and every single episode is a different genre. And Grace, this is a totally new concept, and like the cast that they got for this first season is, I think, kind of for me what drew me to the show, but also just what like blew it out of the water was the amazing actors that they had.
Yeah, so this is a Christopher Miller production, Christopher Miller of Lord and Miller, who have done Spider-Man Into the Universe and some of the Lego movies and the 21 Jump Street movies. So certainly like a big name. And I think that shows in terms of who he was able to convince to come and do this season of TV. And I feel like, Ariel, I feel like actually this TV show actually foreshadowed a lot of what you would end up doing this year, which is between post show recaps theater and like us talking about Glass Onion, but also what this is. There's some White Lotus energy, I feel like, to this in terms of the season of TV where it's like, yeah, Ben Schwartz, come do one season of my TV show. Mm-hmm. And then next season we'll have a whole new cast, although I do presume that maybe Tiffany Haddish might return. I don't know if we've had any confirmation, but alas, this is really this style is really hot right now, the anthology series, but I think very rare that we get the anthology comedy series. And so the idea that not only is it a different cast each season, but each episode being a different genre, like there's a world where this is like too much. You know, it's like a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat. But I think it works perfectly. These hats are very stylish, Jess.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea. And like you said, I think I originally we thought this was just going to be a mini series. Like we thought one and done, one season, we're out of here. Ariel, being that you're the one who's podcasting about the White Lotus season 2, which feels very similar in that it's like, oh, it was going to be like a one and done, but the popularity of it.
Murder.
Brought it back, and it's kind of an anthology series where we have different characters every season. What are your thoughts on like the idea of bringing this back for a season 2?
I mean, as I sit here and think about, like Grace said, the Glass Onion of it all, that being a sequel to Knives Out, and those being like murder mysteries, being comedies, White Lotus being a comedy in parts and also a murder mystery, and then this, and for it not to feel like, how could there be these three different things that are like on paper kind of the same but feel so different and feel like each one has its like own point of view and there is room, like I don't feel right now as I think about it emotionally like, oh, this sucks. It actually is exciting that like, wow, we're mining this genre in like these very subtle ways that all feel really different. I think it's awesome. And I think for this, again, and I said this about Glass Onion, like the idea that you could get actors excited about doing big name actors or, you know, middle actors who wouldn't necessarily want to commit to more than a season of anything. it's really exciting and it's really fun. And when they seem like they're having fun in universe as their characters, but also seemingly just doing this fun type of thing, it translates and we have more fun. I'm all about fun. And for the idea that this on paper, I'm always like, just let it go. Don't do it again. But like, if they can make it feel different, this one, right, we haven't seen. This is of the three properties that I mentioned, we've only seen like the first iteration of it. But based on who's involved, like Gray said, I have faith that they can make it interesting in the second season. Now, will that mean every season or every episode going forward is still an additional different genre? You would argue that they still have other genres to explore as far as episodes, but even if they repeat, they can make those different. It's exciting. Like, and if it's always going to be Tiffany Haddish or whether it is or not, I think I'm all for it, which I can't believe I'm saying.
I feel like, I wonder if there's anything to this idea that some of the most popular stuff on TV at the moment, there is like the big, you know, there's like the fantasy stuff and of course there's whatever, but it does feel like there's always been a place for like the mystery box show. And this is obviously a comedy, but definitely has the like, okay, who is the killer? And I feel like there's been a lot of that has come out this year, as we've mentioned, and Glass Onion is going to drop on Netflix at the end of the year. There's also Poker Face, which is another Rian Johnson a project that's coming out next year that seems like it's going to be the same. So, yeah, I wonder if there's anything to this idea that, like, you know, we've talked about a little bit. Talked about on Mediapedia, an episode about binging versus the week-to-week model, mm-hmm. and how I wonder if like there's this extra thing to, you know, we are people obviously who podcast about TV and we're in the Discord all day talking about TV and movies, and that these type of shows give us the most amount of like juice to squeeze from an episode of TV in terms of not only can, you know, was it a really well-produced TV show and it's very funny. But it did two things that were conversation points. Like one is, okay, did this episode work? You know, I think that the car episode, as you would call it, is that the right term? Do I have the
it's a car movie episode.
Movie episode, I think, worked less well than maybe some of the other ones.
It's about family.
It's about family. But then also this, like trying to figure out what's happening. Those are some of the most popular TV shows of the year, right? Like White Lotus and Severance is a mystery box show. It's not like mm-hmm. a murder, but you're trying to figure out like, okay, what the heck is going on here? You know, that's why Lost, I think, was incredibly popular as well. Like not to like, it feels like I'm saying this as if this is like a super hot take, right? But, you know, the mystery box shows, these are what people want. And this show managed to like wrap it up in one of the most fun ways I've seen a show do. It's almost like they got to do the serious thing without taking any of it seriously.
Yeah, I think these types of shows always tend to get people interested and talking about the show, right? It's not just to have a show on TV, but you want there to be this like water cooler conversation about it. And this show certainly had that. I think what's interesting about this show is like, because we were watching it so closely and podcasting about it and like had the downtime to discuss like our theories, I think it's a little easier to figure things out. I mean, when you're looking super closely at stuff, it's a little easier to figure things out than if you're just watching it casually. Mm-hmm. Not that I think that it takes away from the show at all, but I think these types of shows are really popular right now. Not only mystery shows where there is a thing to figure out, but also shows that take risks, right? Like I view this as a show that took a big risk in changing the genre for every single episode. That's a huge thing to try to tackle, right? Mm-hmm. Because not only did they have to dedicate, like, I think a normal show, you're looking like a 40 minute drama, even like your, I don't know what they're called, like the cop shows.
Procedural. A cop procedural.
Thank mm-hmm. you. Like a procedural show, it's like the same format every single episode. And so you can kind of crank them out, right? The story is different, but the format is the same. And I think for a show like this, where you have a musical episode where you have to create entire musical numbers, an animated show, you have to have an animator involved, a children's like episode of television, right? Like you have to get so many different types of people involved, and I feel like it takes a lot longer, it works different parts of your brain, I think, mm-hmm. to try to do that. To me, that's the biggest feat in and of itself, Ariel, is that we got this show that I don't know that I could think of another show that this is like in that way. It feels very new and exciting in that specific way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think to your point about audience expectations, you do risk alienating your audience that way if you don't do it right, certainly, but it just in general, because like you said, people are kind of used to, especially when a show is new, you're watching it and you're trying to learn not just the universe of the show, but like what the show is and how do I watch it? Like the show is teaching me how to consume it, right? And this show, it's like, it's kind of teaching you a new lesson every single episode, even when you do start to realize and get used to the dynamic of each episode being so different. But if you can find a way like they did, in my opinion, I know like people's mileage varied across the board for most episodes, but I think it was overall positive from my perspective. I think you can find a way to keep a voice and find a voice in each genre that feels similar, even when it feels different, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do we want to hop into, as a kind of an avenue to talk a little bit more about the show itself in season one, do we want to hop into some superlatives that we have prepared for the day, for this
Let's
podcast?
Do it.
I'm super, super into superlatives.
So first one I have, MVP character, a.k.a. the Shadayama Angel Award for our favorite character.
Every time you sing that, I think you're starting to say a word that I can't decipher, that I don't know what it is. And then I realize it's like,
it's the word. The problem is that I listened to a few of the podcasts this morning in preparation. Mm-hmm. And I, every time that like one of us sing that or like, what's the dealio?
I was just sitting looking at the cast list for After Party, and I'd forgotten about Quiet Heather and Mr. Shapiro.
Oh, Quiet Heather. Like, honestly, the I think she's the most underrated character.
Yes, I would agree. Quiet Heather.
But yeah, MVP characters. Grace, anybody that you want to throw out on the board immediately for you?
Oh, I mean, there's a few. I mean, shall we start with Ben Schwartz's Jasper? I feel like Jasper has the most memorable solo episode in terms of the musical episode. I don't know. The one thing, I don't know that Ben Schwartz is like entirely breaking new ground with Jasper. Jasper is a little bit, there's some Parks and Rec energy happening.
There's some Sean Ralphio. Yeah. He's the worst.
That's right. But I do think probably if I'm like thinking about the show, I did really love Jasper. Lest we forget, Jasper was the killer. So, you know. Yeah.
Big time spoilers. If you're listening to this podcast 20 minutes in, why are you here? And why haven't you watched the show?
In review. We got to review it.
Yeah. Ariel, what about you?
Jasper.
Who are you? I forgot about the Jasper.
I mean, for my Shadi Am I an award, I can't not go with my girl Zoe. Like, I just felt like her empathy and her energy, and the fact that like it was at times questionable, especially in the beginning, as to her true intentions, and then you actually learned that she did have not just a daughter that she cared for, and like that was really sweet, but just like actual empathy, like I said, and the episode that she, where you got to see like the different parts of her, really, really struck with me. And I know that didn't work for everyone, but it really just like struck a chord with me, all the little different pieces of her personality and her psyche, and it was touching, even as ridiculous as that cartoon was.
Yeah, I have a few people I'd like to throw out because I can't even help myself. There were so many characters I loved on the show. Anik is the first one that stands out to me because I just remember every single podcast being like, I just want to give him a hug. Yes. Like, he seems like the sweetest human being. And I know Sam Richardson plays like a little bit more of a, I don't know, like a little sly character possibly on like Veep, right? I know he plays like a very different character on other shows, but I just...
He's He actually, like, I think this is his one of his sweetest roles. I think part of the fun of him is that often you think he's very sweet, and then he reveals himself to actually have quite a bit of bites to him. Mm-hmm. But Anik feels like his most pure role I've seen him in. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was absolutely amazing in this show. Another one, obviously Tiffany Haddish as Detective Danner. Her one-liners were so great. I think what stops me from giving her the true Shadow of My Angel award is that I thought her solo episode was the weakest of the season. It just felt a little strange and off to be following the cop.
So, Tiffany Haddish had some stuff come out recently that she might not be back for season.
She's definitely not giving the
controversy. Yeah. Some past sketches were uncovered.
Perhaps a mystery as to what sketches it were. That could be like a whole other different kind of mystery that we investigate.
I want to give a shout out to Dave Franco as Xavier. Also,
I think you mean Xavier, Grace? I did it so many times on the podcast. why I remember.
Eugene Duckworth Jr.
Yes, Eugene.
Terrible name. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. He was great in this. I've been a Dave Franco first showed up on my radar on he was in the like weird last season of Scrubs. If anybody ever were they like
yes fully, with Eliza Coop, I think.
Yeah, they fully ended Scrubs in the most beautiful way, and they're like, guess what? We're actually gonna do more and Dave Franco's here. Like, okay, all right. Yeah. But Dave Franco as Xavier is a phenomenal performance. All and especially all the fake movies that he was in with Channing Tatum specifically.
Hungry Hippos
universe.
And remember the man eater? It's like she's an eater of men. Yeah. What did you say?
Yeah, they play a Hall and Oates movie.
Yes, the Hall and Oates. Love it.
It's too good. The only other character, and this is going to be the most shocking reveal for literally anybody who's ever heard me cover a podcast or a cover show ever on this channel. Maggie the Child.
Oh, wow.
Was an icon.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. Her episode was funny. She's
growing up. It's called growth.
This is extreme growth. She also has, I think, for my money, the most iconic line of the entire series. He put bones in mommy. Always living rent-free in my head. It's so funny. So Maggie is like, I mean, obviously I don't really think she probably deserves to get MVP because she's not there as much, but like, little shout out to little Mags. She
Poor Lana Glazier, the only main character we didn't mention, other than Walt, but that's obvious. Yeah.
Chelsea
was there is a character. Was there a character named Walt on the show? I think so.
My mom knows who I am. There was like some line.
I'm tempted to give my MVP point to Walt. I think it's my favorite bit from the TV show is that nobody remembers Walt. It's very, very funny.
Yeah.
It's definitely memorable. And I have to give, because Jesse, we're kind of doing honorable mentions, I just kind of have to mention my girl Indigo, who was living on like a different planet than everyone else, but being no less hilarious in the process.
Yeah. I think ultimately I'm going to land on Anik just because I thought he was like this ultimate sweetest human being. And I want to give him a big hug all the time. So I think that's where I'm going to land. Ariel, where do you ultimately land on your MVP point? If we're keeping track, where are you landing?
I have to go with Zoe. Like, I feel like Zoe Chow as Zoe, which like, oh my God, what an acting feat to play someone like named you.
I only take roles where I am named me so that I remember my life. Actually, I know when people are talking to me.
It makes sense because you do Hi for Grace, Go for Grace on your name. Like, you but always I imagine... to be reinforced what your name
is. What happens if Grace is on set and one of the lines is like, oh, just give me some Grace. And Grace is like, what?
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 Pardon? Like,
I was here the whole time. I'm
me?
Here.
All right, let's move on to our next category. LVP, the Yeah, Sure, Whatever award.
The song Yeah Sure Whatever, I just heard it. It's so good.
Who do we think is the least, I mean, obviously everyone is great in the show, right? But who do we feel like a little let down by, maybe, or maybe like, again, not someone we're particularly interested in? For me, I think without it being one of the more like sideline characters, like a Ned or, you know, one of the pregnant Chelsea's or
Jennifer. We have not given a shout out to John Early either, who's Detective Carl Danner's partner.
He's very good. Not,
the two Jennifers.
Very
Jennifers,
good. The two Jennifers, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're pretty meh. But for me, I think of the main crew who I was like very meh on for most of the time was Brett.
Yeah.
I don't care about car movies.
Sorry, he cheated Brett. On Zoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good dad. Well, until he loses his kid.
He does drive very fast in his
car. He is sweet. I mean, but wasn't there that thing where like in his version, it was really fast, but then in her version, it actually was fine. But then he did distract her, arguably. So yeah, it's, I guess it's hard to say.
And he does, I'm not sure. No, he doesn't say, I'm going to kill you. But everyone thought he said, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just kind of meh to me. Like that genre isn't for me to begin with. And also this like bro-y kind of type of character is also very meh for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's one of the least memorable.
Yeah, I'll but Brad is my LVP. He's there. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Can I? I think
the other one I would give Ariel, like Alana Glazier is so good, and I feel like she wasn't that good in the show. Like I feel like they like really did
utilize.
Yes, completely.
Yeah. Yes, because her episode is like the horror, like thriller episode. And yeah, I just felt like she's class president when she was in high school. And then she goes to be a little bit of a mess, like a hot mess. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's so out of character for her to be like a character who was class president. I don't know. I she didn't pop off the screen for me either. And I love her in like... in
City and
yes, Broad City. Yes. She didn't pop either.
I mean, I kind of need to, we said we weren't going to give it to side characters, but I kind of want to give it to
a side character.
To Jennifer number 2, because at least Jennifer number 1,
she goes missing.
Kind of has Jennifer 1 had like a little bit of growth. Jennifer 2 just like seemed mean and like a follower.
And she left her like water breakage all over the floor.
That's
just rude. We know from White Lotus season 1, you don't do that. Clean it up. And even if people don't know you're pregnant, you got to get someone to clean it up.
Yeah. I think
finally
that's
people are with me that pregnant people get too much sympathy. Finally.
Grace is like, I will die on this hill.
Always got my seat on the bus. They, you know. Oh my God! Come on.
Let's move on to I've entitled this award the How Great Is This Episode? The best genre episode because of the interesting format of the show. I thought it would be good to kind of give an award to which one we thought worked the most for us. As a little review, we got we start off with Anique's kind of rom-com, then we have Brett's car movie, Jasper's musical episode, Chelsea's thriller, we get the flashback episode, Zoe's animated episode, Danner's like procedural episode, Maggie's children's
movie. I forgot the finale was a children's episode. I will, there was part of me when I came onto this pod that for a minute I was like, I don't remember who the killer is. So,
this is like me, White Lotus season 1. Like, I don't know who died.
Yeah. The musical episode is my favorite. It's so good. It's performed excellently. It's so fun. Like this first, you get the rom-com. You're not even really sure that they're going to do different episodes, so it's hard to give it to the first one. Then you get the action movie, which, you know, whatever. But then you hit the musical and it's so fun and you kind of start to see what the show is. And so I got to give mine to the episode 3, Jasper. Yeah.
Jasper.
Yeah, I think I agree fully. I don't know that any other episode could, like, it just feels like this one was the episode. This was the one that I think Ariel, like, really, if you weren't already on board with the show, I think this is the episode that people most freaked out about, and they were like, oh my God, the show is doing amazing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people said that. No, I don't disagree. I have a different pick, but I don't disagree with what you just said about like this episode really showing a different side. Like, I think it's notable that this was, I mean, all the episodes obviously were from that certain character's point of view, so like they all felt different, but this one really felt like it was really interesting to get something that felt to me menacing at the time, whether or not you had clocked Jasper or not. Like, I think there was something like off about it. Yes, it was charming and it was lovely, but there was something like so exaggerated about like how happy he was that I think felt a little suspicious. But regardless, the production value is you can argue with. Mm-hmm. But for me, the episode that I think just overtakes it a little bit is the high school episode, because it's always fun for me to see people play older people play younger people. That's always
very wet hot American summer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, like, and the whole time we were like, how did these people graduate in 2006? This is exactly. Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah.
The dumb humor and the so you get so much mileage out of like trying to make these characters trying to make these actors look young, and part of the bit is that they look so stupid in like these clothes and these hairstyles, right? But also like the way that we got so many other character combinations than just that one night in question when everybody was like kind of interacting in very specific ways that we had already seen. We got to see, like, it really felt like between all the different actor combinations and character combinations that were new to this like other party that they were referencing, but also that they're having so much fun, and then like the actors, and you're getting to see them just like play in a different box, and like it just feels like a, I don't know, to me it ranks a little higher than the musical episode, because that one felt a little bit like, okay, he's holding back and he's hiding something, and here it's like, okay, now we know these characters so well, like we have a solid like 3 or 4 episode foundation at that point that we have a lot of information about all these characters, and let's build on that in this way here that felt really fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, can I say something? I just realized this, that every episode is the name of the person who that episode is from their point of view, except for episode 5, which is called High School, which is done by, told
Walt's
by
point of view.
Walt's point of view. And so he gets ignored.
He gets nothing. Yeah, we love it.
Yeah. Of his episode.
It's hilarious. I remember
that's
that.
So funny. That's so
very funny. Because it's like the joke is not just in front of the camera. The joke is also exists kind of behind the camera.
In the whole writing. World, the whole universe. Yeah. Like nobody cares about Walt. Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah, I remember the one negative, especially that Josh Wiggler had for the Jasper episode, was that like eventually we don't get like a big villain musical number, which would have been fun once we get the reveal that it is Jasper. Who killed Xavier? So that would have been
a fun like rewind. Like I get that they wouldn't want to put a musical number in a different episode that had a different genre, but if they did a little bit like a boop, 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 like go back and rewind to that night how it actually happened, because that was obviously like an exaggerated false version of what happened. I think he's right. That would have been fun.
Or Jasper starting to sing and nobody else being in a musical, right? Like him being like him doing his big villain song, but it's just him like outside of being arrested, singing,
like monologuing.
Right? Yeah,
especially because like it's like, well, he's the villain, so I feel like he deserves like a kind of like little moment like that. I wouldn't have minded a little break from genre for that moment.
Right, a good place, evil laugh. Yeah,
exactly.
See, I actually thought when I was listening to you folks on the pod that I actually was not super on the Asper is the bad guy train, because I kind of thought it was he was almost too like, in the way that episode works, that he's like too eager, too excited, that I was like, yeah, he's like, you know, too obvious, you know, in a murder mystery. It's like, it's never the first person you think it is.
It's always the person you medium suspect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and to the show's credit, I think that's worth just mentioning briefly, that like, yeah, there were some people that had kind of clocked him as at least suspicious towards the beginning, but it's to the show's credit that it kind of didn't matter in the end, because they did such a good job in revealing it and like fleshing it out, that it didn't like really take away from the experience overall, I would say.
Yeah, one of the things I think it's very interesting, and obviously there's a little bit of this mentality, like nothing is new in 2022. You can't like, there's no new ideas. But I do think one of the things that's really like a standout about this show is that it's based all in tropes, right? So, and a lot of the people were typecast to a degree. Like, yeah, Sam Richardson is always like, I feel like he does have this reputation of being like a sweet, innocent guy. Tiffany Haddish being sort of like a joker. She's, right? Ike Barinholtz definitely has a type. Ben Schwartz is like, as we said, he's like, yeah, there's some Jean Ralphio in here to a degree. And then the episodes, like even the fact that we're saying, like we talk about the high school episode, oh, it's very like Pen 15, it's very Wet Hot American Summer, you know, that like they're not exactly in individual episodes. The whole concept of the show, I think, is like very unique. What they're doing is taking these tropes and like making fun of them. And I think that that's like also very impressive in its own right, that they can kind of like, you know, we've seen some of this stuff be done before. It's not a totally new idea for a show to have an animated episode, but the fact that like the way that they are doing it and the fact that it's very funny, I think is a credit to the After Party. So yeah.
All right, do we want to make any guesses on what type of genre episode, if they decide to stick with this theme of changing up the genre every episode, any guesses on what type of genre episode will happen in season two?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay.
Murder mystery within a murder mystery. So the episode is a murder mystery, not about the greater murder mystery, but about a different murder mystery.
Oh, like someone's telling a story almost.
I don't know how it works,
mystery. Yeah,
but there'll be a murder mystery specific episode that's not about the larger murder.
That's not about the overall mystery.
I guess we don't really know that season two's overarching.
And you already mentioned a hat on a hat, Grace, which clearly you love. So here's your hat on the hat.
Let's put a sweater on a sweater. Let's put a shoe on a shoe.
A polo on
a shoe on a shoe.
A
shoe in a shoe. A shoe in a
shoe. A galosh on a shoe. I don't know. I know there's
just
genres.
Imagine me putting on my sneaker and then I put a flip flop over my sneaker.
Oh no. No, Greg. Oh, make it stop.
You're gonna break it.
And then I put all of that in a croc.
Oh, you're gone. You're banished.
It's like the chimichanga of like footwear.
It's a turducken of footwear.
Also, I feel like you would have to keep going up in sizes just to make
certainly
this work.
Yeah, this is very much going to be like Joey from Friends, you know, the bigger sweaters, you know.
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's going to be terrible.
Says you.
I think says most of the population who wouldn't want to wear three shoes. It'd also be so heavy. It'd be so clunky.
What if it's like the new comfort? What if Grace discovers that this is like the most comfortable foot experience?
It's called
ever.
Fashion, darling. Come on.
It's called fashion. That's dumb. Hilarious.
I think that for next season we're gonna get a fantasy episode.
Good
Lord of the Rings is big, you know, or the new Rings of Power show. We got Hot D happening. Like, I feel like it is we're in the like a revitalization of the fantasy genre. Why not? I could see, you know, donning some elf ears, pulling out your sword.
There's a particular person who the last time he donned elf ears, got some not great rep, Ken Jeong. So speaking,
oh gosh, yeah. Woof 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 on
woof,
that.
Woof, woof. That's right. Oh yeah, right. Jasper is the origin of my woof woof woof.
Woof woof woof. Yeah. You're thinking dog episode, Ariel? Woof woof woof.
I would love stop. That wasn't even my thing, but now I want a dog episode. And I don't
know, because the animal's going to have to
cast.
No dog movie ends well.
You cast a different dog. You cast a different breed for every
each person,
or like different humans, and like look for those interactions.
That's
I love that idea.
That's pretty good.
That's a good idea.
It's a really good one.
I was gonna say we did get. I was almost gonna say a black and white episode, but we did get like what's her name? I mentioned her earlier. Now I'm
not Ingrid.
Indigo. Yeah, Indigo.
Indigo.
She had her like little, I don't even think it was a full like 2 minutes. She had her little like within either episode one or two, she kind of started to tell her story and people were like, gross, please stop. And it got interrupted. But like, I would love like a,
Noir, I love Lucy type, or a sitcom, super exaggerated sitcom,
or like you said, noir. That's... That would have been my second thing that I just thought of, not because you just said it.
That's what I mean by the murder mystery. It's a noir. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wow, we're on the same page.
Wow.
I think
a
any
dog
of those...
noir.
I think
a noir.
I think any of those would honestly be fun and work, right? I think any of those three, and there's so many to choose from. Like, we, again, we don't know if that's what we're doing, they're doing for season two.
Yeah. And I don't know why to know.
No, I like being surprised.
They could do, yeah.
Yeah. Westerns are out there. You could do a lot
of horses.
You could
do a D&D episode, but that's fantasy, like you said, Jess.
Yeah. And plus, Ken Jeong's been there, done that, you know? That's
true. Oh, they could do a dystopian. A futuristic episode.
A soap opera would be fun.
Soap. I love soap.
You didn't even finish. You just said soap.
Oh, Grace is like, Grace soap. Is like, soap opera. And I'm like, soap.
But just soap, soap, though. Oh, my gosh. and then for our last superlative, if one of these characters was hosting an after party, which party would we be most likely to go to?
Anix is going to be so thoughtful. He's going to be the most thoughtful party. It's going to be cute. There'd be nice charcuterie boards, and
I was
going to
say he'd have good snacks.
Yeah, and he'll do like an escape room game, right? Like he'll plan an activity. I like activities.
I think Xavier's has the music too loud for me.
Also, he's dead, so that's
that's a little dark. Grace. Mm-hmm. No,
but
really,
he does have a nice
dark.
House.
He
has a nice house.
Don't,
no one would be at Walt's party, so I don't think you want to go to his.
Poor Walt.
No, I actually bet Walt's party would be super nice as well.
It would
and like
be fun.
Extremely thoughtful, like a gift bag with your name on it. And then you'd be like, yeah, you just forget.
Oh, like a goodie bag.
Mm-hmm.
Swag.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Anik and Zoe, and I mean this separately. Like they happen to end up as a couple at the end. So I guess theoretically they could do a couple's party, right? Like a party for both of them. But I think each of them separately would throw like a fun, sweet party. And it would be, my distinction is like, there's the party that you really, really genuinely want to go to and you kind of don't care what happens because you know you have fun. And then there's the party that you kind of feel like, I kind of am obligated to go to this for whatever reason. And I just hope it's fun. That feels a little bit more like, well, Xavier's dead, but a little bit more like maybe.
Ike is throwing a party I don't want to go to.
or Brett. Yeah,
no chance I'm going to a Brett party. And also, no offense, Maggie, I'm not going to a children's party.
Well, the Jasper party is because like we can only get food from the prison vending machine.
Yes.
So we know touching. We're just around one table. It's only, you know what? The good part is like visiting hours are only an hour. So,
time.
Yeah.
You can plan your day around it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, I think Anik would throw like a. I think Zoe would actually throw a really fun.
The
party.
Two of them, I think it would throw an incredible party together.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like Anik would get super excited about the activities, and then Zoe's like, "This is what people actually. Let's just make sure we have a lot of wine, you know."
Yeah,
and she has access to a lot of children's food, so you get like real bite-sized snacks. That's fun.
Children only eat food.
Carrots.
I don't mean healthy per se. Listen,
bring
we
out
all
the
know.
Fruit snacks.
You go to the supermarket, there's a lot of unhealthy children.
I like to imagine that Ariel now thinks that children can't and don't eat food that is bigger
that
than
is like real size.
Yeah, that
like,
you can't cut it down like a waffle. No way, they'll choke on that.
That's
thing.
Why their bowls are so small, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, they got those tiny forks.
Yeah, yeah. Tiny hands. I don't like it.
I'd go to Maggie. I bet Maggie would throw a hell of a party.
No, no, I'm not going to Maggie's party.
Jess, old Jess. Oh, Maggie's like my favorite children's character of all time. New Jess. Oh, no, screw Maggie and her party.
Maggie and her party. It's going to have puppets and dumb things that I don't want to experience. Probably a bouncy castle. No, I don't want it.
What if the castle were like disinfected and you knew that it wasn't like
it's like a ball pit. Like there, you just can't. When there's kids like snotting everywhere, you just can't disinfect it.
You need a lot of rubbing alcohol for that.
A lot of it. Mm-hmm. But those are our little superlatives that we have. Do we want to spend some time discussing, being that we're here to talk not only the after party, but also just binge shows in general? Do we want to talk about a few other bingeable shows that we watched this year as kind of like a catch-all? Obviously, yeah. Not every single show we covered on Push Our Recaps this year is going to have its own podcast, because there's just not enough time, friends. It's too much.
I don't think we'll make sure not to spoil them, but I do think we should do this in the style of Big Brother. Are either of you Big Brother watchers?
I've seen it.
Okay, at the end of the season, they do this thing where they have to sit, the final three typically have to sit down and they're like drinking, and it's like it's a full-on recap show where they're like, remember when John threw a pie in the oven, and you're like, oh yeah, and then they cut back to the clip. So I feel like we should do something like that, where it's just like, fun. Remember when we cover, remember when Ben Folds was just all up under, I guess I just spoiled the Wilds, but don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. It's not a podcast.
It's canceled. It's fine.
Yeah, it's canceled. Yeah. You don't even worry about watching season two, actually. If you watch season one and you did not join us for the season two coverage, don't worry about it. It's show's fine. Canceled and season two wasn't that good. But the Wilds was fun, a fun podcast that we did all together.
Yeah. Oh,
the silence.
What's
the podcast
dealio?
Wasn't even.
I was waiting for Pink to cut in and interrupt. I didn't want to interrupt her, the queen. No, the Wilds was a lot of fun covering it with you all. I think, you know, it's sometimes it's sophomore slump, sometimes it's sophomore surge. And this was,
we
felt a little bit more like a slump for that one, for the Wilds.
We finally got proof that men ruin everything.
It's true, though. I think the reason that season two didn't work for me a lot of the time was we spent far too much time with the boys and not enough time with the characters that we had established.
The Boys is a different show. That was covered by Mike and Kevin.
It's too much time with the boys. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, that show was canceled. But I still highly recommend season one.
Oh,
I want to go back and watch that.
I guess I feel like at some point, maybe in the Discord, we do this in the Discord, but like we should let's think about how that show actually would have been. Recently today, Ariel, a show that you covered on Pusher, the Midnight Club, officially got canceled by Netflix, and Mike Flanagan was like, "Yeah, here's a Tumblr post where I'm just going to tell you how the show is supposed to end," which I wish more people. Like
It's a lost art. Wow. I feel like it happened a couple of times throughout history.
Yeah,
I read that and I literally teared up by the end of it.
Yeah, I want the creators of the Wilds to be like, here's what we were gonna do, and let me know if it was like good or not. You know,
and we will immediately tell them it wasn't.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah, but I would like that. I think that we've earned it. You know, mm-hmm. We were fans of that show. Mm-hmm. Give us what we were due.
Big fan.
Another one that was covered this year by Posher Recaps was Russian Doll.
Yeah. Ariel, Marissa, and I covered Russian Doll with some guest appearance along the way. That's another show that had, I think, a tough sophomore slump. Like, that should have been, like, you know, there's a world where, like, if I predicted the best TV shows of 2022 at the beginning of 2022, I put Russian Doll season two on, like, the top of the list. I was expecting it to be really good. And it wasn't that it wasn't good. It just was not as good as season one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, especially now, and I said this at the beginning of this pod about like after party, how you kind of, because time passes and time moves by itself, you can just wait and see how you feel about something later on. And I think differently, and I'm not saying this is what you're saying, Grace, but different from the Wilds, where it felt like that was like a big dip in quality, I felt like Russian Doll was a little bit more like, we are taking these creative swings that are very aspirational. We are hoping that these things work, and they didn't always work. And to your point, they didn't always work as well as they did in season one, but they were no less thoughtful and interesting. And it just, season one was like a complete package and was basically as close to perfection as you can get in that genre. And it felt like season two was just a little messier in ways, both good and bad. And, but whereas the Wilds, it was like, something happened here and you changed it too much.
Jess, you covered some shows that I don't know. I have not watched a bunch of them, but, and I'm not sure about you, Ariel, but between sort of Bad Sisters and Reboot, and you're currently covering, I believe, Mythic Quest. I have watched previous season of Mythic Quest. I think I'm going to wait for all of Mythic Quest to drop, and then I'm going to binge the show and binge the pod. But give the spiel. Should people have watched Reboot or Bad Sisters? Or
Yeah. So for all of those, I would say Bad Sisters, a must-watch. I would rank that a must-watch. Shannon Horgan is a genius in anything she's in. She has like a... She has an agreement or a contract with Apple TV to where she's producing different series for them. Catastrophe is another one that she is in that I didn't podcast about, but it's brilliant. It is about a bunch of Irish sisters. Another adjacent to this is it is a murder mystery.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a murder aspect. There's a mystery aspect, takes place in Ireland. The entire cast is brilliant. I would say the show, I think the pacing on the show is really well done. So highly, highly recommend that show. It is coming back for a season two. I would be more nervous about the season two if not for Shannon Horgan being involved. Because I just think she's just a genius. And so she also acts in the show as well. And so because she is deeply, deeply involved with season two, I'm a little bit higher on its prospects, but definitely that one is a must watch. In terms of Reboot, I wouldn't label that as much of a must watch as more of a throw this on. It's very short. It's like 8 episodes.
I know. I remember there was a day where Lindsay Wilson messaged me. I was like, "Wait, did an episode of the pod? Did you record something?" And it was the Reboot episode called "What We Do in the Shadows" because each episode is named after a different TV show. Is there any like after party synergy there? Like, what's the deal with the titles of the episode, or is it just like?
Yep, the reason they're all named after sitcoms is because the premise of the show is that they are rebooting an old family sitcom. Imagine if, I mean, you don't have to imagine because Full House did get rebooted, but it's, you know, that is the joke, is that they're they're bringing back the full cast again. And so I think to me the highlight of Reboot is the cast itself, because of the famous faces that are on that show. We have Keegan-Michael Key, Johnny Knoxville, Rachel
Judy
Bloom,
Greer.
Judy Greer stand out on that show. Again, 8 episodes. It's very quick. I'm really hoping it gets renewed because I found it to be a refreshing take on a sitcom. So definitely that one is not a must watch, but I would still recommend it highly. What was the other one you mentioned? Gosh, I covered so much this year. Paper Girls.
Oh, I was saying Mythic. Oh yeah, Mythic Quest, but it's less of a binge show, right? It's released weekly, so. Yeah, but
Mythic
Girls?
Quest is released weekly. Still, I would highly recommend Mythic Quest for anybody. Oh. It's a workplace comedy that has like a lot of gaming aspects. But
you can binge through the first few seasons, and it's really good. It maybe has my favorite COVID episode.
It has by far my favorite COVID episode. It's not close. I tend to, for those who don't know, I tend to like skip COVID content if it's covered on television shows. It's not my favorite thing to watch. I lived it. I don't need to see it on my TV. But I will say Mythic Quest has the best COVID episode I've ever seen.
Is Paper Girls in renewal limbo? Did it get?
It got canceled. Paper Girls got canceled. No. I will say Paper Girls, I still recommend you watch it. I think it's a really sweet, interesting, intriguing, like adolescent teen girl show. And even beyond me recommending the television show, highly recommend the graphic novel. I would say like if you want to do both, you certainly can. That's not coming back, so up to you. But if you're only going to do one, read the graphic novel. It is so good. They had to, I don't want to say dumb it down because that makes it sound meaner than I intend it for it to sound, but like they do cut out a lot of the.
It was very complicated. It was very complicated. The graphic novel, and
it is.
And at
it's
least
very
it
complex.
Had an ending.
There's time travel shenanigans, so yeah, like right. It's gonna be difficult to kind of translate that to television. But the show was really great. We podcasted about it here on Post Show Recaps, and I do highly recommend that show as well. I covered a lot of great shows this year. Not everything got renewed. I would argue Time Traveler's Wife. I really loved that show. I wish it got renewed for a second season. synergy aerial with Theo James's butt.
There was one. I was going to say there was one thing specifically that you really enjoyed.
Yeah, baby.
That show, The Time Traveler's Wife. But I'm glad that I didn't have to say it. You came out and said it yourself.
Yeah, we get to see Theo James's butt on the White Lotus season 2. So at least there's that.
Ariel, you and I covered Blackbird, the Taron Egerton. And there is some synergy here because there's Paul Walter Hauser.
There's some great butt in that one as well. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yes. Taron Egerton. Paul Walter Hauser, who plays an incredibly creepy individual in Blackbird, is going to be in season 2 of The After Party. So, yeah.
That's right. I forgot that they had already announced the cast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very excited
full
about
cast
that.
Is out there.
Another one, Grease, that you covered, A League of Their Own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, League of Their Own. One of the best TV shows of 2022. People should watch that. It's very not only like LGBTQ highlights that, but also something that the movie does not do, which is talk about Black people in America. So yeah, it's really good. It's great. Yeah. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I recommend that one as well. I think the cast on that is really stellar. And I actually think, like, when I'm looking at the shows I covered this year, I'm like, wow, a lot of them did have really great LGBTQ representation. Yeah. Like Paper Girls is one of them. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of them that I think are doing a better job that we're like, at least in television and media, like seemingly doing a better job at kind of having that representation. Mythic Quest as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will just bring up a couple. Speaking of like things you can just throw on that maybe aren't that good, Inventing Anna was on Netflix earlier this year. That like it did like big numbers on Netflix, seemingly at least at first. I think people fell off, but that was a thing that happened, is how I can put it. As far as the show quality.
There was, they signed on to do a second. They were going to, somebody else was going to make a TV show, and then was like, no, we don't need it. Maybe Emma Stone? Is that?
No, it was Jennifer, wasn't it? Jennifer.
Oh, you're talking about Lawrence? The actress that kind of like, was like, I don't
she
need
did
to
a perfect job. I don't need to do it.
Yeah.
That was The Dropout. That was the Theranos lady, Elizabeth
Holmes.
Holmes.
Oh, and it was Jennifer, wasn't it J-Law?
It was J-Law who was going to either make a movie or make an alternative TV show. Yes. And she was like, no, The Dropout did it. And I'm not. Yeah.
There's one that is a weird one where Sarah Carradine covered Candy this year. Jessica Biel, a show.
That was very good.
It was very good. But then also there's an HBO.
But that one. Yes. That one is coming out. The extra one. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like another, a different version. Yeah.
With the Scarlet Witch herself. One of the Olsen sisters, Elizabeth Olsen. Thank you.
Yeah. Another one I covered this year with Mike Bloom, Upload season 2. I really liked season 1 of Upload. I thought it was very strong, very interesting, very innovative. And yeah, it did get renewed for a season 3. So I'm really happy about that, just because I feel like the way season 2 ended, we really did need a season 3. So also recommend that show. It's a very quick binge. I believe it's on Amazon Prime video. So if you want to watch that one. Ariel, another one you covered this year, Pachinko.
I was just thinking of Pachinko.
An awards darling, isn't it? People love, or critics darling, you know, however you
want. Yeah, I think it was really, I think you would describe it as like a slow burn. It felt like a movie. I made the joke earlier of like showrunners who call their seasons like, you know, 10, 12, whatever hour movies. This one kind of felt like that, but in a great way. And it was like kind of an indie film. It was very emotional. Lots of it's time travel, but not in the traditional sci-fi sense. It was just like the viewer traveling across different times of this family, like across generations, and getting to see history. And it really feels, that one is, I believe, coming back for season 2 on Apple TV. And that was, I think, probably a little bit more popular internationally than it was here in the U.S. But I think it was like a very beautiful, very emotional, beautiful, both beautiful emotionally, like I said, but beautiful to look at as well. Just very cinematic, very powerful. So I definitely recommend it if those words and adjectives appeal to you.
Here's one. I binged all of the news this year, and I can't believe it's getting renewed. I cannot believe it. It's so depressing.
The season. Like,
it's the local news. I know.
I thought Grey's Anatomy was like on a tear. The news is like the original.
They keep running the Grey's same Anatomy. Things over the same storylines over and over again.
Like, didn't that already happen? Didn't that already happen?
I thought there was a show called The News. And I was like,
The News
Room,
I think, was one. Yeah.
I also binged Grey's Anatomy, but there's nothing new about that. Uh-huh. It's actually very sad. Ooh, I don't want to talk about it.
It's not sad. How dare you?
Yeah, The News Room was an Aaron Sorkin show that ran for like two seasons. Yeah.
But of course, if there's something that was bingeable that we haven't mentioned, chances are it will be covered sometime. In the next month, so
sometimes we miss the first season of a show and then come back before, like we didn't cover season one of Russian Doll and Postal Recast, but then when season two came back, we went back and watched season one. So that happened. Oh, the White Lotus is similar. We didn't cover season
one. Same kind
of
thing. Yeah. Well, now it's like before we were a much smaller operation, you didn't have as many voices on podcasts, and you know it was difficult to get everything out in a timely manner when people were still talking about it. Mm-hmm. Now we are kind of delivering on that front a little bit more. But yeah, if we
Josh still won't let me
cover
the news though.
I think I'm with Josh on that one.
Come on, what about yes ands? Come
it's
on.
It's too real. It's too real.
Where are my yes ands at?
Not no, that's a terrible idea. That's the worst improv counter.
No, but
stop. No, but stop.
But yeah, I think those are most of the stuff that we covered that isn't going to get its own proper podcast. Pretty Little Liars, I also covered. Original Sin with Sarah Ferguson. That is getting renewed. It is getting a second season.
That's never not around. Like, they're always going to do either the show or the show : other title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty Little Liars has lived forever, it seems, at this point. But I will say, Original Sin was actually really fun. It was a lot more like horror-y, more adult because it was on HBO Max than the previous iterations. I still recommend it. I thought it was very, very fun. So I'm excited that one got renewed for a second season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Apple TV show Loot that I covered with Dr. Amanda Maya Rudolph, that also got renewed. We covered season one.
Is that the origin story of you and Dr. Amanda podcasting together?
I think it was. I think
that's
it was
where you all
Loot.
Got your before. Yeah, if people know you from White Lotus, that's where it all got started.
Yes. I think that's accurate. That sounds right. And that was a lot of fun. Joel Kim Booster, Maya Rudolph, like a really good cast. So that one I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah. Any other shows that we could think of that we want to give a quick watch or do not watch to if they're not already being covered? I can't think of anything. I feel like that's most of what I covered this year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But is that all?
I think that is all.
Yeah, I think that's
about it's, wrapped a, it's up. A lot, isn't it?
It's the after party.
In it. Of course you can catch us so many other places. Grace, what are you talking about lately? Where can people find you if they want to hear more?
Yeah, a couple Netflix shows, The Crown with Shannon and Gus, and then 1899 with Ariel and Rich, also covering movies each week. There's a lot of big movies coming up before the end of the year, and I'm going to cover as many of them as we can. And Roll Call over on Rob is a Podcast, a board game extravaganza show. We recently played Spyfall. So it was very fun. You can catch the replay over on YouTube and Twitch. I'll just give a quick, in case you're looking for it, YouTube has now changed. If you have a live video, it's under a new tab called Live. So make sure you click on the Live tab to find the Roll Call episode. It's not under videos, even though it's a video. So whatever. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. I'm on Letterboxd at Go For Grace.
Yeah. Just like Grace's whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Grace is like, yeah, sure. What? There you go. Yeah, you got them before
me.
Oh
my gosh. Yeah. Ariel, what about you? Where can people find you?
People can find me trying to solve the murder mystery that is The White Lotus season 2 with Dr. Amanda. That is coming to a close. We're slowly getting to the end of the season, and I'm ready to know. The tension has reached a critical mass, and I'm ready to find out what's going on there. I'm on Twitter at that other Ariel. I'm covering the other things that Grace already mentioned. And this is exciting. December. Wow, it's over. We did it, y'all.
We are almost at the end of the year. We've made it. You can find me covering Community on Community Building with Josh Wigler, previously mentioned season 3 of Mythic Quest with Adam H here on Pusher Recaps. And of course, I'm Shit 90s Shows Taught Me with Sarah Ferguson, covering Boy Meets World, Dawson's Creek, and a bunch of other 90s content. Follow us at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me at the Jess Sterling. The number one place you could find me, of course, is the Posher Recaps Discord, posherrecaps.com/Patreon. If you would like to sign up, it's the season of giving gifts. You could gift someone a patron membership. We have tons of fun in there. Don't forget to fill out our patron survey. Again, this is just one of many 2022 in review podcasts coming out this month. Coming up next on the calendar here, Grace, it looks like something I believe you guested on a podcast about this show. Severance.
Yeah.
Reviewing Severance.
Maybe the really best great show. Maybe the best show of 2022. Yeah.
Possibly. I think it's in contention for sure. So looking forward to hear from Josh Wigler, Dr. Amanda, Melissa, Dr. Melissa, all on Severance this year. That show, I think, was another awards darling, and another one that the buzz was heard about this show. So certainly excited to listen to all of that. I think that's all we have for you today. And is with that, all? I know twas a short time.
did we remind people to do the survey?
Yeah. There is a survey in the show notes here. Don't forget to go and do the survey. We want to hear from you. Yes, you.
That's you. Survey. Wow.
Me?
I feel it.
All you Joshes and Matthews and Daniels and Dave. I'm just saying a bunch of names.
Wow, Brittany's, a lot of men listening Ashley's. To the podcast. Okay, perfect.
I wasn't done yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Riley's and all the Meredith. Other names. Meredith's and Jimathan's, Jimathan's, Rajar Lethews, all of you, please fill out the survey in the show notes. We Jaspers. Appreciate you. All of you. Thank you all for listening. I'm going to leave you off with a shout out.